Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Solutions for Success show presented to you by Nashville Success Summit. On today's show, we actually have two guests. We have Heather Thomas and Diane McDaniel, and they're the partners behind the company G-Squared Wireless. Now, Diane and Heather were recently nominated and won the award as one of the best places to work in Nashville by the Nashville Business Journal. And in our interview today, they're going to share with us their philosophy behind management and the culture in their organization that led them to be such a great place to work.
This is Heather, and G-Squared Wireless is a wireless management company. And what that means is if, let's say, you work for a large corporation like Bridgestone, and they have thousands of wireless devices, and so they outsource us to be their support group for help desk, procurement, that kind of thing. And the reason that there's a niche for what we do is because wireless falls somewhere in between telecom and IT, and it's a totally different skill set.
And it's growing so rapidly, you know, so these companies are trying to keep up with the growth, but they need to outsource a lot of that to keep up with it, and that's all that we do, and so we're experts in that.
Excellent. So what is your background? How did you get started with wireless?
Well, actually, I used to work for Bell South Mobility and then Singular Wireless, and then they became AT&T, but I work with them, I guess, probably 10 years. And Heather and I left together. We took a severance, and we left together, but we both had a lot of knowledge in wireless. Prior to that, actually, I was a kindergarten teacher, and then I sold Yellow Pages when my boys got older because I could make more money in sales than I could being a teacher. But, you know, you use those skills in sales, the same skills that you have as a teacher, and then now the same skills that you have as an owner of a company. And Heather, do you want to kind of let her know how you got started?
Yeah, I worked also for Bell South Mobility / Singular / AT&T, and Diane and I were a national account sales rep. And so we got to see kind of the whole support model because we handled very large accounts, and it was starting to kind of be an industry standard to take that support away from the carrier side, and so that left a big hole that, you know, the clients weren't getting the support they needed. And so that's sort of where we came up with the idea to fill that gap.
You were named just, last week, right, one of the best places to work by the Nashville Business Journal. And I guess what I'd like to hear, well, congratulations, first of all, because from what I understand that's completely anonymous from your employees are talking about you and how much they like working for you and your company, and you have no control over their input. So for you to win the award means you're doing something right. And so I guess, would you explain to us, you know, what is it that you think that you do differently that makes employees like working there?
Well, I think, first of all, we treat them like family, but it's a family that is very respectful. And everybody works hard, but we've got each other's back like a family. It's a really good functioning family. And we do what we say we're going to do. There's a genuine feeling of caring here, but we also do things outside of work. You know, and so many of the people that work here are very, very good friends. A lot of musicians, a lot of them play like sports together and do different things. And Heather, do you kind of want to add to that?
Yeah, and also it's a very casual work environment. We don't have a dress code unless clients come in. So we do fun things in the office, like we have Jersey Thursday and Superhero Tuesday, where everybody wears superhero shirts. We just try to make it fun and relaxed, but by the same token, the family atmosphere is also one of accountability. So we all treat each other really well, but we hold each other accountable, and so we work really hard and we play really hard.
And we don't have a lot of room for egos, you know. I mean, it's just, I don't know, you know, we have people that really feel good about themselves, but in a good way, you know. So it's been really nice. We also work out a lot together. We did The Biggest Loser, and we have an extra room here at the office that we've kind of turned into a workout room. So probably 3 hours a day at different times there's people in there doing, like, working out and watching videos and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it just kind of gives a team mentality, you know, and everybody's doing that together.
Well, I think, too, when we first started, we were super super selective about who we hired. And now a lot of the people that we hire are referrals from people who are here. And it's sort of like you start out modeling a certain behavior, and then they model that behavior, and then they don't want to recommend anybody that's going to come in and upset the apple cart. So it's sort of like, you know, when people new people come in, they're seeing that there's a behavior here where we don't gossip and we don't have politics and we don't backstab, and you just it just doesn't happen.
Right. And I think a lot of that starts at the top down, and we've learned that, and we actually spend time with each person that comes on board here and get to know them, like, on a personal level. Like, we'll take them to lunch or whatever. So just that they know that we care, that we're there for them.
So are you saying that you haven't had a single bad hire since you've been in business?
Oh, no.
No, we've had bad hires.
But we also...
I wondered.
But you know what? What we did, we fought our gut when we hired these people. There was a part of us that thought, I don't know if we should do that. Yeah, but they really need the job or whatever. So you kind of talk yourself into it. And what we've learned now is not to talk yourself into it.
So
you know?
We always have multiple interviews with multiple people. And if any one of us has a bad feeling about anything, then we don't hire them. Because we have learned from our mistakes on trying to give people the benefit of the doubt that usually if we have a bad feeling, there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Because we're pretty open-minded people, so I guess, you know, we try to see the whole person. I mean, there has been instances maybe that, you know, I think, I'm not sure about that, but Heather will feel very strongly about that person. And so I trust her gut, you know what I'm saying? So we're like, okay, let's go for it. And so that kind of works out. But the other people that we've had to kind of, you know, when they come in and they tell you all this stuff and all these things that they've kind of been doing in the past, whatever year, but they think, I'm going to change now, I'm going to really try, and all this kind of stuff. You know, we one thing we do now, too, we do background checks on everybody. We also contact, you know, places where they used to work. And like Heather said, a lot of these people are referred from people that actually work here. So personal references, that's a really big one. Just that kind of stuff.
Are there any particular traits outside of the skills that you're hiring for, but are there any particular traits that you're looking for when you're doing your interview?
Well, integrity is one, and character, but also time management skills and attention to detail.
Yep. And like you said, they'd have to be very techie. And because of that, a lot of the people that work here are, you know, they probably fall between, like, 22 and 38, something like that, because it you know, it just comes like second nature to them. They've grown up working on technical stuff, and so they act. And we do like to hire people that have some sort of wireless experience. So a lot of these people come from the carriers, or maybe somebody that worked with Dell or something like that.
Now, I know a lot of what you do is you provide support for companies, and having worked with help desk in the IT industry before, I've seen it where it becomes a thankless job, right, where you've got folks who are on the phone. People don't call up your help desk to tell them how great they are, right? They call up when they have a problem. So how do you keep the morale high when they're dealing with essentially a lot of negativity coming at them?
I think because we're using our customers are corporate clients, they do over time form relationships, and we have built the reputation that we're going to take care of them. I mean, kind of what we say is, we got it. You know, if you have a problem, we've got your back, and we'll fix it. And so over time, they just learn that we're going to take care of them, and so we really don't get a lot of negativity from the other end.
Right.
You know, it's nice when we can be their hero. And from the carriers, you know, the carrier's never the hero. And so if we can come in and save the day, that's kind of our approach to it.
Right, we're the liaison between the carriers and the customer, but we make sure everything is done right. We have a ticketing tool, so we validate everything that was said in the call with the carrier or whatever. So let's say somebody goes roaming in a different country and they come back and they have a huge bill, and the carrier says, well, you didn't add the roaming feature on there. We can say, well, what limit? Let's look at this ticket. Oh, yes, we did. This is what we did. This was the confirmation, whatever. So we keep a really good trail of what we do with each individual customer. So we save the day a lot for them. So actually, like Heather said, we don't really have bad calls. I mean, we're like the heroes. They really like us.
And we actually had a president of one of our clients ask us, you know, what's your secret? And it's very simple. Our secret is we do what we say we're going to do, period. And you just don't get that typically in our line of work, unfortunately.
And we have happy people here, and so they treat people in a good way, you know?
Yeah. Well, actually, I just... maybe it wasn't the exact words you used, but the way you described your relationship with your, between your employees sounds like it extends out to your clients as well, where it's
exactly.
almost like an extended family to you.
Absolutely. Yep. It is like that because we care.
So now, can we talk a little bit about, you know, the big challenge that everyone has is, you know, working harder, having, you know, less people, and then juggling the family life. So what is your culture like for someone who, say, has a sick kid or, you know, they need an emergency day off to take care of something personal? How does that work within your environment?
We work with people. For example, today we had a manager that came in, and he's having some problems within his family. There's some illness with his father and his child he's concerned about, and he was worried about taking some extra time off. And we're like, you know what? You do what you need to do. We got your back. You know, we'll work with people because we realize things like that do happen. And do you want to add a little bit to that?
Yeah. Well, the thing is it costs us a whole lot less to take care of people than it does to replace them and train them. And therefore, our turnover is very low. They know that if they come in here and ask us for something, that we're going to do our best to help them. And therefore, they don't ask for it very often, and they don't take advantage of it.
No.
And to us, you know, we have processes and policies in place, but there can always be an exception. And if somebody's got something going on in their family, we want work to be the last thing they have to worry about.
Exactly. We got your back.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm ready to go apply for a job with you too.
It's a fun place. We have a good
but
time.
But you know what? We treat them that way, and they treat us that way. So it works.
Well, and honestly, we all love what we do. It's really funny because, you know, one of our things that we talk about is when you work for corporate America, and it's just, you know, you get that knot in your stomach on Sunday, and you're thinking, oh, my God, I've got a sales quota I've got to meet this week and all that kind of stuff. And we just don't want anybody to feel that way. So, you know, everybody looks forward to being together because there's such camaraderie. There's just a good vibe, a good feeling. But honestly, again, I think it ripples from the top down because I can remember working for corporations and the people at the top don't even acknowledge you. They don't even know who you are. And you could be the top salesperson in a group, but they have no idea who you are, anything about you. And that's really sad to me. I think that gets lost a lot in corporate America.
It absolutely does. And until you make a big mistake, right, then you're anonymous.
Diane and I decided to start this business, we were convinced that there was a better way and that you could have a successful, profitable business and still treat people like people.
Yep.
And still have a happy work environment. And to us, the biggest compliment in the world is for people to say, I don't dread coming to work on Monday.
Right.
You know,
right.
I just enjoy my entire weekend. Sunday, I'm not sitting there dreading it.
And I'm not wishing away the week, you know?
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. Now, what about your particular leadership style? And what I mean by that, so talk about how much of your business goals and objectives are you sharing with your employees? Like, do they know what your financial targets are, what your next strategic move is going to be?
They don't know specifics, but we do have quarterly parties and meetings where we'll go to a restaurant and we'll have because everybody's on the phone all day, we don't really get to have staff meetings other than management. So we make it a point quarterly to get out and to blow off steam. But before we do that, we have, you know, update meetings on what are our goals, what are we working towards, what are some hurdles we have and those kind of things. But specific financial things, we haven't to this point shared that unless we hit big milestones and then we have a party for those.
Right.
Excellent.
And we still do Christmas bonuses and stuff like that.
Okay.
Holiday.
Great. So what about your typical performance appraisal process? Do you have an annual review or are you more casual in terms of giving feedback throughout the year? How does that work?
A little bit of both. I mean, we do an annual review, and the manager sits mm-hmm. down with, you know, whoever works underneath them and has their annual review with them, and then they get a chance to actually give the manager a review and the company a review. So it's kind of, you know, they talk about what they like and don't like, whatever, and then they share that actually with us, and then Heather and I, you know, take them out every every person that works here on their anniversary, we take them out to eat lunch.
Yeah, so that we can not only talk about what's good about their job, but also how we can improve, but also for us to have a chance at least once a year to connect with them. And that makes them feel more comfortable if they need to come to us.
Yeah, and to know what their goals are, you know. Where do you see yourself? So I think because we have an open door policy at all times, you know, and it's just, and we make a point to walk around the office and chit-chat with people and stuff, and we have a lot of activities together throughout the year before their review, and so I think they feel pretty comfortable, don't you, Heather?
Yeah, and part of what we do is when they review us, we have like a standard sheet that says rank us 1 to 5 on these 10 things. And so if we'll see that before we'll go to lunch, and if they've ranked us, you know, even middle of the road or lower on a specific topic, then that'll be kind of our point of, you know, where we'll start the conversation and ask for details, and then they feel comfortable, you know, sharing that with us.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I can see why you guys won this award. This is great stuff, and the fact that you're able to do this in your company and make people happy and still be profitable at the same time, right? That's a lesson that lots of companies need to learn.
Absolutely.
Well, and if you think about the job that they're doing, I mean, probably none of them, that was their career goal, was to answer phones,
uh-huh.
You know, and so
right.
You have to, you know, it's a thankless job, and most people that are in that line of work, the turnover is ridiculously high, so we have to come up with ways to make them feel like this is their home.
Oh, yeah.
And then they take pride in what they do.
And appreciate it, you know. Like, we send out a lot of kudos to people. We look at stats every week, you know, to see how many calls people have taken, and we really recognize the people that had an outstanding week or whatever, or our new employees as they're growing and going through the process. We, you know, come by and just say, hey, great job. And, you know, we just make sure that they know that we're watching and that we really, you know, think they're fabulous or just whatever.
So I'm gonna, you mentioned your early years. So talk to me about when you guys first decided you were taking your buyout, leaving the corporate paycheck behind, starting your business. How did you get started and start finding some customers?
Well, actually, one of my clients was Bridgestone, and I had about a 9 to 10 year relationship with them. And when I left, they called and asked me if I wanted to do some consulting work for them. And coincidentally, the consulting work was bidding out wireless support. So I got to see from the carrier side the support model, I got to see what clients wanted, and I got to see what the pricing was being offered and what services there were out there. And at the time, there really wasn't much more than like a Asurion type warranty swap out kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was all very basic tier one type support. And so I called Diane, and I said, you know what, Diane, we need to do this. And we both were like, I guess we're crazy. But Bridgestone actually let us take turns working there Monday through Friday while we started our business. And we didn't even have our business license when we started doing it. And so then the company that we had chosen to work with Bridgestone, we went to them, and they were supplying support services on the billing and asset side, but they weren't supplying help desk support services. So we went and made friends with them, and then they started sending us clients.
Right.
And they sort of did, you know, Bridgestone was one of them, but then they started adding small ones until we proved ourselves, and now they're our biggest client.
Exactly. They were actually with another help desk, but they weren't really doing a good job. And one of the things that Heather and I did while we were at Bridgestone is we kept like a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet, and we talked about everything that happened throughout the day, and we listed all the things that they were doing wrong
and that we could do better.
And that we could do better. And so, and we weren't, I mean, they were almost like asking us to do it, you know, because they were like not really sure about this other help desk. And we were doing such a great job. They're like, okay, that's it. We're not going to even use this other help desk. We're going to use you, you know. And then, like Heather said, then we got in touch with the client that they were, I mean, the telecom expense management company that they were using, and we formed a partnership with them. And slowly but surely, all their other accounts, they moved over to us for help desk, and it just evolved.
Wow.
A lot of we wholesale a lot of what we do now through telecom expense management companies, because in bids, they are always asked for support services, but they don't offer them. And a lot of the telecom expense management companies are software companies. You know, they're just doing the billing and the asset side of it.
One of the things that's really cool about us is all that we do is wireless help desk. We have, and we don't do anything else. You know, we do all tiers of wireless. The procurement piece, you know, anything to do maybe electronically as far as a help desk and all the different tiers of a help desk. And so we have perfected that. And what a lot of our competitors do, they do a little bit of everything, and a little part of their business is the help desk. But we decided that we were just going to do one thing and do an excellent job. And the cool thing is it's really evolved. And now, you know, people are calling us from all around the country. Even some of our competitors are using us to do the wireless help desk piece that they were doing, but they're not doing a very good job. And so they're using us. So it's really been cool. It'll be 7 years in July that we've been in business to be able to kind of just watch how this has grown and evolved. And again, like Heather said, we just say, you know, we're going to do what we say we're going to do.
Yeah, and from a little bit different slant, we've always grown organically. We decided early on not to take on venture capitalists. We didn't want them to be in control because we had a really good vision of what we wanted. And so we've you know, put second mortgages on our homes and borrowed money and, you know, just done it organically and slowly as we could, and it's really worked out well for us.
Yep.
So what are the lessons that you've learned? So you've been in business 7 years. You're doing a phenomenal job, right? What are the lessons you've learned that you could share with someone who's just thinking about, you know, maybe I'm going to step out, do something on my own? What are the things that you had to struggle through, and how would you have done it differently, I guess, if you started over?
Okay, this is Diane. I'll grab it for a little bit and then turn it back over to Heather. But I think one of the biggest things we did was, like, listening to people that have started their own businesses and maybe learn through their mistakes. So find some people that would kind of mentor us. And one of the things that we were the first Athena PowerLink Award winners in Nashville. So, you know, that was a real honor for us. But we were given a board, and we would meet with our board every month and talk about things, and they would give us assignments, and Heather and I really took the assignments to heart, and we went back and we did our work, and we come back and we would report to them and say, hey, you know what, that really worked, even though maybe we weren't sure, but we really didn't have that ego where we thought, no, we know how to do this. We actually listened to other people, you know, and thought, okay, and kind of modeled ourselves after their successes. But they had to be people that had the same kind of attitude that we did and the caring nature that we did. You know what I'm saying? So we found like people that have been successful in businesses.
Yeah, and a lot of the people that mentored us were people that were good at things that we weren't. Like our board, the people they assigned to us were attorneys, finance people, and, you know, people that we couldn't afford to hire on our own, but that could give us very valuable insight and advice. And actually, they love doing it. I think Nashville's a great city for people to, you know, ask for people to mentor them, because people really enjoy helping each other.
They do. They reach out. So I think that's one of the biggest things.
Yeah, and we've learned a lot of lessons about following our gut.
Yeah.
Every time we don't, we wish we had. So that's one thing. Also, I think someone starting their own business has to be willing to close their eyes and jump and never look back. I mean, basically our motto was failure's not an option, because we have too much on the line.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to believe things. And then unless you really believe it 100%, you know, it's not going to happen. Like one of the things, I have two sons that are older, but the biggest thing I always tell them is that your word is law. Whatever you say is what happens. And you've got to say it, you've got to believe in it, and you just have this spark inside of you. If you look for it, all the lights come on when they're supposed to. And when a door shuts, instead of being all upset about it, think, okay, well, there must be a reason I don't need to go through that door. Something else will open. And it happens every time.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, without getting too religious, I mean, Diane and I have really followed our gut and followed green lights and red lights. And if we get a red light, we say, okay, that may not be what we exactly wanted, but there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll accept it and move on to the next thing. And then a month later, we go, ah, that's why. I'm so glad that happened that way. You know?
You just have this positive spirit around you, and it's just amazing what that spirit will do. It's pretty cool.
It's not all good, right? There's always problems. There's always challenges. So what keeps you up at night right now? What are the challenges that you're worried about?
You know, it's crazy. I mean, I'm not really sure. The thing is first of all, you need to pick a really good partner. Like Heather and I are very good business partners, and our strengths complement each other. So if I have a bad day or I'm feeling in a funk or whatever, I'm worried about money or I'm just like, I don't know, I'll come in and Heather's like in a really good place. And so it's kind of like you have to find a person, you know, if you're going to do a partnership that you can balance. And I really think it's easier to do a partnership than to do something on your own. But you've got, you know, you got to find that right partner. So I guess, you know.
Because we couldn't have made it through without each other.
Yep.
And one, you know, like Diane said, one of us will freak out and the other one's fine.
Yep.
And then a month later, I'll freak out and she'll be fine. And, you know, also, Diane and I aren't huge worriers. So we just have this faith that everything's going to be okay as long as we're doing what we need to be doing.
We just trust life and we trust each other. But not to say we haven't bumped heads, because we have. We're both very strong-willed and stuff. But we've learned, it's like any kind of relationship, you kind of grow through that. And you take the ego out of it, and you realize that we both want the same thing.
Well, and we are, I mean, right now we're having growing pains, which is a good thing. I mean, we're about to take it to the next level of going from a small company to a much larger company. And so we have to make decisions about, do we want to bring in an investor? Do we want to borrow money? Do we want to just suck it up? And those are hard decisions, and sometimes money's tight, but we have to know that, you know, we all are in agreement with whatever way we proceed, and we just trust it.
Yeah.
Just let me ask you, is there anything else that I should have asked you and did, and anything else that you want to talk about and share with the audience listening to this?
I think also just to kind of do a lot of kudos to our management, and we've been very, very fortunate, and we've kind of weeded out and found the best managers, and to trust them. And to give them autonomy, that they're able to make choices, and, you know, but they kind of would check in with us, but it's kind of like they grow, and then you kind of release them, and they do their own thing. And I think it's really surrounding yourself with really good people and really good managers and very good leadership. And we've been very fortunate with that. But I think it's that we really respect them, and then they respect us. It's just back to that family thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think... two quick things. One is the power of positive attitude, and I, you know, I don't think necessarily I was born with that, but I've learned it, and it always works. And then the second thing is that because we started out where we were the managers and everybody reported directly to us, as we've grown and people haven't left, we've gotten to help them develop in their careers. And there is nothing more rewarding than watching these people blossom.
They just shine.
And watch them go from an entry-level position to running a company.
All right. It's been a great conversation. You've shared a lot of lessons. And congratulations again on winning the award. And you deserved every bit of it.
Thank you so much.
I had so much fun in that interview with Diane and Heather, and I hope that you learned some things that you can put into practice at your business as well. Just remember that the best way to attract the top talent is to become one of the best places to work. If you're a small business owner who's looking for people who are just like you, who know what you're going through, and you want to do some peer-to-peer advisory and masterminding with them, come check us out. On our website is NashvilleSuccessSummit.com. And while you're there, if you look at the tab for expert interviews, you'll find a copy of this recording as well as the transcript for those who prefer to have it in writing. Till next time, this is Joanne checking out at NashvilleSuccessSummit.com.